was a mess. Came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. He looked through the screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a puddle of blood, and he started to shake. The Georgia Patrol wasn't making their rounds, so he fired a shot just to flag him down. A big belly sheriff grabbed his gun and said, "Why'd you do it?" Judge said guilty on a make-believe trial. Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile and said, "Supper's waiting at home and I've gotta get to it." That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer, 'cause the judge in the town tracks he saw while on his way to Andy's house and back that night were mine. And his cheating wife had never left town. That's one body that'll never be found.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress tonight, outlining his economic plans along with foreign policy. That includes efforts to end Russia's war in Ukraine. After the fallout from talks with Ukraine's President Zelensky last week, Trump ordered a hold on all U.S. military aid to Ukraine.
Right now, U.S. aid to Ukraine will be temporarily put on pause as these conversations continue to play out. It's important to note that the overwhelming majority of the aid that was promised during the Biden administration has already gotten to Ukraine, but there are still some things in the pipeline that could be held up right now. If there is a delay, whether that's weeks or months of this aid not getting to Ukraine, there could be a real impact on the battlefield.
ABC's Karen Travers. Canada reacting to U.S. tariffs matching the 25% tariffs the U.S. imposed on goods on Canada and Mexico. The Vatican says Pope Francis had no new respiratory crises, but will sleep with a ventilation mask now at night. This is ABC News. Renewed concern about immigrant children being separated from their families. ABC's senior political correspondent Rachel Scott was embedded on an ICE operation in Virginia.
The administration says that they are going after what they call the worst first, individuals who are in this country illegally but have a known criminal record. But as we saw firsthand today, it is not stopping there. At the second ICE operation, agents arresting one man who they say was deported twice and re-entered the country illegally. Officials say he has been convicted of sexual battery, but inside that residence, there were two minors and an uncle. Agents believe that the uncle is undocumented. They told him to turn himself into immigration authorities in 2 days.
Mardi Gras festivities taking place around the country, and that includes New Orleans. Crowds taking to the streets in New Orleans today for Fat Tuesday. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature want to use part of the state's projected $4.6 billion budget surplus for tax cuts. On WISN-TV's Upfront program, Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August was asked whether they'll hold up work on a state budget if Governor Tony Evers rejects that.
It depends on how the governor's going to react to the tax cuts. I mean, we are very adamant that this money needs to be returned to the taxpayers.
The Democratic governor has proposed several tax cuts in his state budget, which August dismissed as a shell game. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel is reiterating where he stands when it comes to President Donald Trump's pardons of those who took part in the January 6th Capitol attacks.
A president has the power to pardon people. And I was asked, do I object to the president using their pardoning power? I don't. But I disagree on a personal level with decisions to pardon anyone who assaulted or committed violent acts against law enforcement that day.
Schimmel faces Dane County Judge Susan Crawford in the April 1st election. A MAGA-aligned group says some in-person early voting locations in Wisconsin are unfair.
The claim in letters from the America First Policy Institute to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and local officials in Madison, La Crosse, and Oshkosh. AFPI claims sites located near college campuses violate state law and amount to something called early voting poll location gerrymandering. The letters urge local officials to remedy the issue and provide early locations that don't provide an advantage to either political party. Early voting starts March 18th for the April 1st election, which includes a crucial seat on the state Supreme Court. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 80% of young producers said they get their most important agriculture information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you are in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Rain ramps up tonight. As it flips to snow through the overnight, it's going to be heavy at times. We'll be waking up tomorrow morning to about 2 to 4 inches on the ground with another 1 to 3 left to go. And winds will be vicious, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, creating whiteout conditions. A winter storm warning starts at 9 p.m. tonight and lasts through 3 o'clock tomorrow. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Imports from Mexico and Canada and increased tariffs on China. Now Europe is wondering if they are next. We'll sort it out and learn more about what farmers are doing to maintain relationships with trading partners and how they'll work to rebuild those relationships going forward.
Live from Tariff Tuesday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we continue coverage from Commodity Classic with Lucas Lynch from USB, Steve Sensky from ASA, and Jim Sutter from USEC. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, buddy. You know what? It is so good to talk to you and to feel that energy and to feel, you know, get that liner, because out here,
yeah,
amongst all the corn and soybean growers, and we had the early riser session this morning, the taping for U.S. Farm Report.
Uh-oh.
We had that going here this morning, and the anxiety level, I think, has ratcheted up a few rungs on the ladder. Simply, you know, because of the tariffs. Is anybody surprised? No, I don't think anybody's surprised. If there is surprise, Davis, I think it is that that the Trump administration actually pushed forward with the tariffs. There was some speculation yesterday that maybe Mexico would be quote unquote left off. But here we are. We've got Canada. We've got Mexico. We've got China. We've got retaliation from China, from Canada. And then the Mexican president, Sheinbaum, says she's got plan A, plan B, plan C, and plan D on how she is going to deal with the tariff package from the U.S. So, dude, this is a high stakes game that is being played right now. There is no question about it. But sometimes it's just better to be lucky than it is to be good.
We've
got to keep in mind, because we've got the CEO of the USB, the CEO of the ASA, and the CEO of the USAC all on the show today, and it was planned before the tariffs. And we've got maybe the best group that we could assemble to react and get some perspective on what is happening out there. So pretty phenomenal stuff, Davis.
That's pretty cool. Well, and the thing is, we're looking at double-digit losses in the nearby corns. I mean, you get out to the Dees, and you're off like 7-8 cents. Beaners, same deal, almost 20 cents lower. Yeah. And the wheat market as well, double-digit losses there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's being reflected. And not only that, but it's been reflected. We've got to remember that. Mm-hmm. It has been reflected in these markets. When you, I mean, leading up to today, we had 7 consecutive lower closes in corn, 6 consecutive lower closes in wheat, 4 consecutive lower closes in beans, mm-hmm. and now we're adding on to it. So it's it is quite the reaction that we are seeing in the marketplace right now to it. So we, like I said, we've got great perspective coming up here, and looking forward to it. Big thank you to United Soybean Board for making it possible for us to bring you coverage. I haven't even mentioned that we were at Commodity Classic. You know, I talked about the early session, like you guys were right there with us. But no. We are at Commodity Classic out in Denver, Colorado. And what a great place to be on a day like today when we're trying to figure out exactly what this all means for us going forward.
Well, and we understand you're soy excited out there is what it is.
Well, we are soy excited because there's just so much more that we need to talk about, yeah. Davis.
Yeah, I know.
All right, buddy, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Yeah, we'll hit a couple highlights here. The National Weather Service is calling for a high-impact storm ejecting out into the central U.S. They said ejecting into the central U.S. yesterday, too. I'm not sure what ejecting means in weather speak, but it's coming, people. It'd bring widespread hazards throughout midweek to the central U.S., damaging high winds, blizzard conditions, severe weather, critical fire weather concerns for the risk of some flash flooding. Severe thunderstorms and heavy rainfall will move across the eastern seaboard Wednesday. Another potent storm will approach the west this week. A little something for everybody in the forecast here, and none of it looks like any fun.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've got a plane out of here later this afternoon, and I'm going to hope to kind of hopscotch over a blizzard and land in eastern Iowa later tonight. I hope it works out.
Well, we're under a winter storm watch here. They're expecting blizzardy winds kind of into the overnight, and trees may come down quite the
day. Yeah. By the time I get back to the bunker tonight, that's when the blizzard warning sets in for us.
You might need to break out the leaf blower.
Might have to, yes.
Well, we talked about the grain markets. The stock market's taking it on the chin, too. I'm looking at the Dow down 750, we'll call it, the S&P down 102. And now the NASDAQ down almost 300 points, all registered losses to open the week. Let's see. Oil prices continue to decline this morning, falling to a 12-week low as OPEC Plus announces an output increase in April and those new U.S. tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China come into effect. President Trump's new tariffs on imports from Canada, Mexico did come into effect 12:01 a.m. Eastern time. It's a significant escalation. Chip, as you said, President Sheinbaum from Mexico has plans A, B, C, and D in line here. In response, China's imposing new tariffs on U.S. ag products, expanding the unreliable entities list to include 10 new companies. It's hitting the fan this morning, Chip.
Yeah, it certainly is. The U.S. dollar index trading now 550 to 600 points lower this morning. It's off the lows, which when you see the dollar, if the dollar catches a bid at some point today, and maybe it already has, because like I said, it's bounced, that might be a signal to the grain markets that there's enough pressure already been applied. So we're going to watch that very closely as the day goes on. You know, I bought into the idea that the dollar is something that we need to watch for long-term perspectives on what's going to happen to the grain markets. But right now, with all the tariffs and everything, it's a day-to-day issue that we got to track.
Yep. Specifically, those tariffs include a 25% duty on imports from Mexico and Canada, 10% for Canadian energy products, and they're doubling Chinese imports to 20%. With that increase, the U.S. trade-weighted tariffs on Chinese imports nearing 38%. Chip, that's almost high enough to compare to a repeal of permanent normal trade relations there with China. Yeah, China's customs authority suspended the soybean import qualifications from three U.S. exporters and halted the imports of U.S. lumber effective immediately. China's customs says it detected ergot and seed treatment agent treated soybeans in imported U.S. beans and pests in U.S. log shipments.
What like a load of crap. There is no way that that's what they found.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an artificial barrier. Don't think about it any other way.
Yep. And get this one, Chip. Russia has agreed to assist President Trump's administration in engaging with Iran on its nuclear program and its support for regional anti-U.S. proxies. This, according to Bloomberg, Chip.
Yeah. I'm going to have to spend a little time on that before I develop a full thought on it, Davis.
Well, wait 10 minutes. The situation will change, bro.
You have absolutely got that right. All right. We are at Commodity Classic. Big thank you to the United Soybean Board for making our coverage out here possible. We've got Lucas Lynch, Steve Sensky, and Jim Sutter coming up next. We've got the CEOs of USB, ASA, and USAC next here on AgriTalk.
Unlock whole herd performance with Zinpro IsoFirm. This one-of-a-kind technology enhances rumen performance and advances efficiency by directly feeding the rumen microbes. What's the result? Decreased dry matter intake, increased energy-corrected milk, better feed efficiency, and a herd that is better equipped to navigate the stress of lactation phases and seasonal change. Learn more at www.zimpro.com/isofirm.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Commodity Classic. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. We're going to have a heck of a conversation right now. Holy smokes. We've got Lucas Lynch, CEO of the United Soybean Board, Steve Senske, the CEO of the American Soybean Association, I should add, a former USDA deputy secretary, and Jim Sutter, CEO, U.S. Soybean Export Council. Gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for making time for us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
I want to start by defining some roles before we get in and launch in on the conversation about tariffs, okay? So the role of USB. Lucas, let's start with that.
The role of United Soybean Board, we are the national checkoff organization on behalf of farmers. We work on promotion, research, and education, all the long-term investment, farmer-led by 77 farmer leaders from across the country, farmer-directed, and clearly farmer-funded.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim?
USEC is the international marketing arm for the U.S. soy family, founded 20 years ago by ASA and USB to build upon many years of work in international markets that ASAIM had done previously. And so we're the voice of U.S. soy in markets all around the world. We touch about 80 markets on an annual basis.
Yeah, we've got to talk about what your role is going to be going forward to rebuild some relationships and maintain some relationships that are out there. Steve, ASA.
ASA is the policy organization that works on behalf of soybean farmers. We work with, of course, the administration. We work with members of Congress to advocate for policies that are going to make soybean farmers more successful. And we work very closely as founder of USEC on the export side of things, and very closely with the Soybean Checkoff to try to make sure that we have the policies in place that are going to help facilitate the great work that the checkoff does to build new markets, to develop new uses, and make sure that we have the policies that are successful for soybean farmers.
Fantastic. Okay, Steve, got to start with you. It's no surprise, but global ag trade looks different this morning than what it did yesterday. What's your perspective?
I think there's no way to sugarcoat it. I think the uncertainty and, of course, trade restrictions, they're going to have the negative impacts on farmers in general and on agriculture and soybean farmers. Of course, there's the impacts of course, immediate retaliation, and you have China that has already responded with putting an additional 10% tariff on U.S. soybeans. We haven't seen any responses yet from Canada or Mexico affecting us, but it's negative. And of course, our hope and our message to the administration is just to emphasize how dependent soybean farmers are on trade, over 50% of the crop that we produce. And that we need to try to reach agreements. There's trade practices around the world that we do think need to be addressed. And so the president is absolutely right in trying to pursue those.
Yes, absolutely.
But it would be far better to have for instance, with China, a phase two trade agreement early and have it address our concerns, rather than get into an escalating tariff war that we suffer the consequences for a couple of years and then reach a phase one trade agreement like we did under the first administration, which was great. It did a lot of good things, but we still suffered from 2 years of suffering and frankly incentivized production in Brazil.
Yeah, absolutely. Mexico and Canada being added into this tariff talk, Steve, and the tariff plans. Under the first administration, it was focused on China. Now we've got Mexico, and I mean, they're right next door. There are good neighbors. There are allies, and we've got this tariff package on them. What do we hope to accomplish?
Well, I think the administration has been emphasizing, obviously, there's a lot of concerns on fentanyl coming into the country. And I think he sees this as the tariffs as an opportunity to try to address that. Certainly with Canada, it's minuscule, the amount of fentanyl coming in. And I think we've already seen the Canadian government even further step up their efforts to try to cooperate with the U.S. there. We've seen Mexico try to do that as well, both addressing immigration. Again, our hope is that, you know, this is more of the President Trump, the deal maker, trying to get some leverage to try to get some action rather than President Trump, the tariff man.
Right, Right. You know, it's been interesting. Under the first round of tariffs in the first administration, farmers were very supportive of the efforts. They said, listen, we're willing to take a black eye. Let's just not break any legs. Okay. It turned into some broken legs out there for a lot of guys, but the payments were there. So we're going to have to talk more about the potential for some payments coming up. But Jim, this whole trade issue, obviously, right, your wheelhouse. What's your reaction?
Well, absolutely. And as Steve said, you know, these are important trading partners of ours. China, the number one export market for U.S. soy. Mexico, the number two market for U.S. soy. And Canada, number eight. I'm talking about in the last marketing year. So they're all important customers of U.S. soy. And I think, as Steve said, you know, the phase one agreement was a good outcome of that dreadful trade war we had back in 18 and 19. So if they can quickly get to some sort of a resolution and get back to something like that, that would be positive. But the other thing about China specifically is we normally at this time of year see our shipments to China go downhill because the Brazil crop is coming off. They're just in the front end of their, I could be about halfway through their harvest down there. So for a timing standpoint, maybe it's not all that bad that this would be the time of year when we normally see more shipments transitioning to Brazil. And as far as Mexico and Canada, I think we just have to wait and see what they announce in terms of retaliatory tariffs. They are both, you know, clearly very important partners with the U.S., important markets, and they rely on our U.S. industry to be an important supplier of raw material for their livestock feed industries and other things. They don't want to see prices of those rise substantially. That would be an inflation problem for them. Right. So I think we have to wait and see what happens there. Yep. But the other thing you mentioned earlier about kind of relationship management.
Yes. Yep.
So U.S. soy has had the smart ideas of knowing how important international markets are for years and has a team of people that work for USEC out trying to build relationships and talk to people about the value of U.S. soy, the differences between U.S. soy and soy produced in other places. So we continue to do that. And we're continuing to, we've been working on diversifying markets, making sure that people in Algeria and places in Latin America and Southeast Asia, that they understand the value difference of U.S. soy. So we're going to continue to work on that. So as we have trade problems in one place in the world, we prefer not to have any.
Yeah.
But as we've had some, we'll be there to be able to make sure we're promoting U.S. soy as a good product for them.
Right, right. Okay, we're two for two here, Lucas. The bottom line being, we understand why they're in place. Let's just work through this as quickly as we possibly can and move on with some better relations going forward. I got to believe you're going to echo that.
Well, absolutely, and it's not by accident. If you look back over the history of Checkoff, last 35 years, farmers have been making the investments in the marketplace domestically and internationally intentionally. These guys are working not on election cycles, but really the relationship in market, developing markets, so that there's always going to have that market access opportunity. And I think the American farmer, the 500,000 that fund the Checkoff nationally and locally, the qualified state soybean boards in partnership with USB, we leverage that funding and move it into the international market by way of partners like U.S. Soy Export Council, but also finished a protein development in U.S. Meat Export Federation and the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council. And then you start thinking about the WISH, or the World Initiative for Soy and Human Health. That is the farmer investment in market around the globe, frankly, making sure there's an access point for the American farmer.
Okay. All right. I want to go. I got to get some reaction, Steve, to the retaliation by China, because it's personal. They went straight at the U.S. farmer on that and said that they are going after the U.S. farmer because of the support that they've given the Trump administration. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, obviously they would. They're trying to be strategic, and so they're doing that. I do think that they have to be careful. Obviously, they have worked to diversify their supply chains, but, you know, food price inflation is something to worry about within China as well. Yeah. And to the extent that you take out U.S. soybeans from the market, and hopefully, again, this is something that we can reach agreement on, and it's not long term. But long term, if it is, if they're cutting off the supply of U.S. soybeans or making them much more expensive, that's going to negatively impact their own consumers. as well. Yeah. And so they're
struggling right now the way it is.
They are. Their economic situation, they're struggling. Their economy, consumer demand, mm-hmm. consumer sentiment are all really either flat or negative.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're in a communist country, that can turn against you in a hurry. No doubt about that. Wow, we are off and running here. We've got Lucas Lynch, CEO, USB, Steve Sensky, the CEO of ASA, and Jim Sutter, the CEO of USEC. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about some debate. You mentioned it, Lucas, domestic markets. We got to develop that now. Let's talk about it next here from Commodity Classic on AgriTalk.
Want a great harvest this fall? Then you gotta start strong this spring with Great Plains hybrid and vertical tillage equipment. Break up residue, prep your seed bed, and give your soil the best start possible with a Great Plains TurboMax, Velocity, or TerraMax. Spring won't wait, and neither should you. Find your perfect tillage tool at GreatPlainsAg.com or visit your local Great Plains dealer today and get ready to grow. Great Plains, your best spring starts here.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets from the Eau Claire Farm Show. I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update at WRDN. And March milk down 30 to 1824, April down 51 to 1758, May down 41 to 1775, June down 31 at 1745. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, live cattle markets have now recovered. They're higher across the board as the trade is still believing that, yes, we have these tariffs, but there's still a lot of domestic demand. And it's also been a lot of short covering from those initial losses. So live cattle now have moved higher. Feeder cattle, though, they are unfortunately not following suit in the live cattle's lead. They still have triple-digit losses. Again, a lot of this because of the tariff issues. Also, lean hogs moving mostly lower as, again, the trade believes that the retaliatory tariffs coming from Mexico that could be announced as soon as this weekend could adversely affect pork. April live cattle up $1.37 to $193.62. March feeder cattle down $1.80 to $272.22. April hogs down $1.37 to $82.32. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving mostly lower. Corn now has extended the oversold conditions. It's a risk-off type of trade in the grain markets with all of the tariffs and retaliatory tariffs now all taking effect. Now, the daily export wire for soybeans did see 20,000 metric tons of soybean oil sold. New crop corn down 6.5 to 444 and three quarters. New crop beans down 14 and three quarters.
It's a Wisconsin tradition, so start spreading the word whether you've been farming a little while or all your life. It's time to celebrate and see what's new with Wisconsin's oldest tradition. Join us for the 61st Annual Eau Claire Farm Show March 4th and 5th at the Chippewa Valley Conference Center. Free admission both days. Don't miss this event to celebrate one of Wisconsin's oldest traditions. The 61st Annual Eau Claire Farm Show March 4th and 5th with free admission from 9 to 3:30 both days at the Chippewa Valley Conference Center.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. We've got a heck of a conversation going. A big thank you to USB for making it possible for us to bring you coverage from Commodity Classic here. We've got Lucas Lynch, CEO of the United Soybean Board, with us. Steve Sensky, the CEO of the American Soybean Association, and Jim Sutter, CEO of U.S. Soybean Export Council. Lucas, I'm going to go to you because you mentioned, you were the first to mention it, the domestic side of the market. We've got to, if we're going to put this kind of stress on the export market, we better get focused on domestic.
Well, and I think it plays right into the America First initiative. You know, the president got a clear mandate last fall and he's off and running. And so there are no surprises. And that really gives us an opportunity to look at that investment portfolio. And, you know, 500,000 farmers in the country, that is their self-help program. And they've been placing bets on the investment portfolio to make sure it's diversified in feed and food and fuel and also industrial uses. Those four pillars make up a lot of our domestic demand and utilization. But let's be clear, our number one and number two customers in the soybean space are poultry and pigs when it comes to soybean meal. And obviously on the oil side, there's the human nutrition as well as our fuel space. And so all of that is part of a domestic play, but it builds into what we've been talking about here, these policies that are very important. And as a country, you know, think about it. We've got an economic war going on. We've got an artificial intelligence technology war going on. We've got tariffs, geopolitical. There's all kinds of fronts that we're facing as a country on a global scale. And so all of that coming into the 2% that have the privilege of and really the honor of feeding this country and feeding the world, that gives us our American patriots, our farmers, are the food security folks.
Yep.
And so we, you know, and who's the first victim on that field of battle when it's agriculture? And but let's never forget, our food security as a nation is incumbent on our farmers being able to be viable and profitable along the way.
Excellent. Excellent. Steve, what does this mean? President Trump made some comments out on social media about getting, you know, building up the domestic market, get ready to sell more into the U.S. Where do the biofuels come into play on this?
Yeah, I think it does play in a very significant way. You know, we have, we believe, and we've been messaging this to the Trump administration that, you know, first of all, it would be great. Let's try to settle these. Let's achieve the fair trade that I think all of us support and that the president desires, quickly. And because you just can't replace 50% of your market, and that's 50% of our market goes to exports, and we need to make sure that we have access there. But at the same time, that as we go through this, obviously the president has talked about and Secretary Rollins talked about some financial support for farmers. Yeah. You know, that's probably critical to stem the bleeding or the massive blood loss. But more importantly, we have to work on the demand side. And that's what the president talked about being in the inside. And we believe that provides a great opportunity to push for higher renewable volume obligations under the RFS for bio-based diesel. We think that that's extremely important and supporting our livestock industry so that we can have that domestic demand within the United States. Farmers, you know, obviously they want to make sure that they receive some financial assistance if this tariff war would go on for a while, but they want demand.
Absolutely.
They want demand through the marketplace. And we want that either that's through the export markets, but we also see great opportunities for biofuels. And I think it just underscores, again, the collaboration that has taken place among soybean farmers for so many years. The Soybean Checkoff has made tremendous investments in developing biodiesel and the biodiesel market. And what we have exists today thanks to the Soybean Checkoff. There's also then, of course, the policy component that goes with that, whether that's the tax credit or the volume obligations under the renewable fuel standard.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Jim, Lucas mentioned the two biggest customers for U.S. products being pork, the pigs and the
pigs
poultry.
Pigs and chickens, yep.
Yeah, pigs and poultry. The problem is there's a little bit of retaliation against pigs and poultry, so beans are kind of getting a double whammy here because of the retaliation on soybeans, too. That all comes into play in just how it's going to affect ag.
Right. And I think my colleagues here have certainly said it well, that there is pressure on the agriculture sector. But I think if I look at this, I think now more than ever, that's a term we've been using here lately. Now more than ever, the work that we do to make sure that markets around the world understand the value that U.S. soy can provide. Because look, it, there's only, what, 3% of the world's population or so that live in the United States. Many more people live outside the U.S. We can't consume. We can't sell all of our agriculture products here in the U.S.
Right.
We need to have access to international markets. So there's this, we're working on fair and free trade, and I think we all support that. But there's many markets around the world that today depend upon the U.S., and we need to make sure that they remember and understand and believe that they can continue to depend on the U.S. for a supply of nutritious, sustainable products that are shipped in a very reliable way. We've got the reliable infrastructure here in the United States that allows us to export markets around the world. And that's not necessarily the same in other origins. So we need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, Jim, I've been to some of your meetings, USEC meetings. They're fantastic because, I mean, there's customers from all over the globe that show up at your meetings and they want to build that relationship. I said it this morning at the early riser session, the taping of U.S. Farm Report in the Q&A. I said it in the Q&A that, okay, again, the U.S. is being viewed as an unreliable supplier to the rest of the world. How do you get over that? What kind of efforts do we need to see going forward to counter that?
Well, I think we have to, if we can, compartmentalize the trade issues with a couple of countries. With China, everybody knows there are these big geopolitical issues, and agriculture seems to always be at the tip of the spear. So we probably need to set that aside and look at the great work we do with many other countries at continuing to be a reliable supplier. So yes, the headline that is that maybe the U.S. isn't a reliable supplier, but with many countries, we are a very reliable supplier.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to keep emphasizing that. Steve mentioned that the biofuels policy.
Right.
And to the extent that we have a stronger biofuels policy, that means more soybean meal will be produced. And we can become even a more reliable supplier of soybean meal from the United States out to markets around the world. So I think I hear you and I hear people talking about that. But that's why we have this team of people that work for USEC, that work around the world, that wake up every day in market to try and counter those comments and make sure people understand that the U.S. has a great farmers and a great industry that is there to supply them.
All right. Steve, I want to go back to you. We've got a U.S. trade rep that is, he's very well accustomed to tariffs and dealing with a tariff market. We've got experience in important places in political leaders out there. When you sit and talk with them now about what kind of policy we need going forward to get, you know, to get past these issues, what is that conversation going to sound like?
Well, I think the conversation is, I think we do see opportunities on the reciprocal tariff agreements or reciprocal tariffs that the president has talked about. Jameson Greer, the U.S. Trade Representative, has talked about that as well. And we see that as an opportunity to expand new market access for soybeans as well as for U.S. agriculture. Because when you think about it, if we are entering into a reciprocal tariff discussion with other countries, which we're going down that path, we're asking them to lower their tariffs to our products. We're asking them to address other market access barriers that are keeping our products out. And we're using that leverage of the negotiation to basically create a new trade agreement.
Yep.
And we've gone through a period of the last 4 years where we did not have any new trade agreements whatsoever.
Right.
And so I think
we had lots of missions.
We had lots of missions and you had lots of other meetings, but there weren't any real agreements.
Right.
And so we actually have been, you know, working and with the administration to say, hey, we think this reciprocal tariff exercise that the President Trump has initiated provides an opportunity to provide new market access. And our job now is, and we're sharing this with USTR, what are the countries of priority and what are the market access barriers that we think ought to be addressed?
Absolutely. Lucas, I mean, we've been talking around the edges on some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to spend just a couple of minutes talking about this right now. Yeah. But the team that you have assembled to deal with these kinds of issues, it's pretty remarkable, man.
We're off and running. And, you know, for the listeners here today and out across the country, farmers have always intended for this partnership. You got three partners at the table right here. There's the membership that drives the policy side of the house to the American Soybean Association and the great work that U.S. Soy Export Council. This has been a funded and an intentional engagement that we do internationally. And the people behind the scenes, I like to say we like to keep the relationships within a handshake of the boardroom. We know who we work for. We get up every day working for America's soybean farmers, and we're unapologetic about it. And we want to make sure that we're turning over every opportunity to drive home value.
And it's soybean farmers doing the work.
Absolutely. You know, it's not like we're sitting back in St. Louis, Missouri, in the back corner thinking up things. We are following the direction of farmer leaders. And one of the things about farmer leaders, Jim, I mean, while we as a country work in 4-year cycles with election politics, you've got customers that think in century long plays. And I think that's important to think about it. Simply said, I think the soy checkoff being really smart is showing up to say, what are we doing to make plays that benefit the American soybean farmer versus taking it and getting played, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think driving home that domestic agenda is very important, and it's research. And yes. I can't say it enough. It's about their investment.
Outstanding. Good stuff. We've got Lucas Lynch, Steve Sensky, Jim Sutter here at Commodity Classic. Now, the reciprocal trade, reciprocity and trade, we mentioned that. I want to dig into that just a little bit deeper. And hey, there's always interest in the biofuels. We'll come back here on AgriTalk from USP in Denver.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Do you have an idea for a book? Fiction, nonfiction, or a children's book? We can help you put it together and bring it to market at Dorrance Publishing. We have thousands of testimonials from people just like you that we've helped get their books sold in stores and online. We've even got a service called The Writer's Coach. It's perfect for people that have a book idea in their head and they just need someone to help them put it on paper. Dorrance Book Publishing has been helping people just like you who have a book idea, written or not, for over 100 years. Imagine being counted among the most famous authors in the world with your very own book. Call right now and let us help you turn a book idea into reality. It's easier than you think. You just need a little help. Call us now.
800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. 800-879-4098. That's 800-879-4098.
Farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
There you go.
Yeah.
The truth.
We don't try to blow our own horn too hard.
The truth.
But hey, we're going to do it. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. We're live at the Commodity Classic. Thanks to the United Soybean Board for making it possible for us to do this. And what a group that we've got to gain some important perspective right now. Lucas Lynch, CEO of the United Soybean Board. Steve Sensky, the CEO of the American Soybean Association. Jim Sutter, CEO of U.S. Soybean Export Council. Okay, guys, during the break, and I'm just going to spill a little bit of the sausage making and everything. During the break, I said, what's something important that we need to talk about that we haven't talked about? Jim, you jumped right in. I want you to take off on that.
And the topic of diversification of markets and how out of these challenges, exactly. We can try and build on some opportunities.
Exactly.
And all these are challenges, but let's look for the opportunities and let's look for how we can try and develop different markets than we have been serving to make sure that people understand, as I've said, the quality, the sustainability, the reliability of the U.S. soy industry. And as we do that, we work together with the Foreign Agricultural Service in many of these markets around the world. And I just wanted to give them a call out because, you know, while we hear these things that are happening and some of the challenges, the people that are there day in, day out in many markets, 75 markets plus, I think they have offices in. They're there to also work with our teams to represent to government officials, if need be,
yep.
Trade issues that may come up. And oftentimes we can help educate them on the trade issues, and then they can try and help resolve those. Yep. And that helps us get soy into new markets that maybe we weren't there before.
Right.
And the other thing I think that the U.S. is such a great supplier of choice. Whether a person wants commodity soybeans, specialty soybeans, soybean meal, we've got it all. And we've got farmers that can grow it. And we've got exporters that can export it. And so this is an opportunity for us to double down our efforts, looking at markets everywhere, trying to make sure we have markets for U.S. soy that can, you know, with the old adage we used during the last trade war was move the pile. We got to move the pile. Well, we need to make sure we're moving the pile. And I feel like we've got a lot of interest from people around the world, so we need to keep working on that.
Jim, you know, I got to add on, you talk often about the tropical bean versus the North American bean and the storage and all of the supply chain and the great value that America's soybean crop means to the global trade. We don't say that near enough, and we frankly take it for granted. Even our natural growing climate, the quality control aspect of our bean all the way through to the consumer around the world matters.
Well, and you guys, when they get a bag of feed that's got U.S. soy on it, it says sustainably grown U.S. soy on a bag in, I don't know, Vietnam or Cambodia.
Vietnam or Guatemala. Yes, they are. They're
proud of the fact that they're bringing in U.S. beans.
They are. And we need to build on that.
Fantastic.
Because as Lucas reinforced, there's a big difference in the quality. And we've got a lot of data that if people dig into it, it'll show them that value.
Yep, absolutely. Lucas, during the break, you were talking about the pendulum swinging back and forth. Right now, it kind of feels like maybe it has swung far enough in one direction. We need to work it back.
Yeah, well, you know, I think if you were looking, soybean checkoff is established because of a federal act and order passed by Congress, issued by the USDA. In fact, we're really a quasi-governmental agency under USDA's oversight. And I think in this day and age when we're talking about transparency and efficiency and accountability, I couldn't be more proud to work for farmers. You know, especially the last 15 years of my career, I have seen the farmer voice leaning in and demanding accountability, demanding transparency, and absolutely expecting efficiency. So we are proud of the Department of Government's efficiency and the work to make federal government more efficient. And I couldn't be more proud of what we have done in the checkoff space to hold that up as a gold standard.
Lucas, I think what I just heard was, well, Doge, go ahead. Come on, take a look.
We got a great story to tell. And I'll just let the farmers speak for themselves. It's their investment. It's their effort in the marketplace. They are in charge of this soy checkoff, hands down.
Okay. Steve, all of the partnership efforts that we've talked about so far, we've also are partnering with the ag representatives that we've got in the Trump administration and the trade reps. Talk to me about the team that he has put together. How do you feel?
I feel very positive, and that, you know, really gives me confidence that we have really a talented and smart group of individuals that are there already, that have been nominated or are already there in the administration. And, you know, we can start at USDA. Secretary Brooke Rollins, of course, was here the other day. She did a great job. She had served in the first Trump administration as the head of the Domestic Policy Council within the White House. She's very smart and knows policy. She's very articulate. She has a great relationship with the president. Yeah. And that is a good thing for U.S. agriculture, to have a secretary that is knows and has a great relationship with the president, because I know from our own experience, you know, that was wonderful for us at USDA in Trump One, that Secretary Perdue had a great relationship with the president and was able to talk to him. And, you know, President Trump fundamentally likes farmers.
Yes.
He wants to do right by farmers, and I think that's positive. The other folks that have been nominated for USDA, the deputy secretary, Stephen Vaden, he served as general counsel in the first Trump administration. Very smart, very knowledgeable, knows USDA programs, knows the importance of all of the programs. And I think that's going to be well. We have Richard Fordyce, who's a soybean farmer himself, have served in leadership roles for both the U.S. Soybean Export Council, as well as on USB, nominated to be undersecretary for FPAC. Luke Lindbergh, undersecretary for trade. Dudley Hoskins is undersecretary for marketing and regulatory programs. He was a senior advisor to the secretary.
You're rolling out Trump an all-star team here, Steve.
They really are all-stars.
They really are. This is really something. Lucas, I'm going to give you the last 20 seconds here. Final message from USB here, Commodity Council.
Well, the final message is we trust farmers. And, you know, while the times are tough at moments, just know that tough times don't always last, but tough people do. And we know the American farmer is resilient. And I'll bet 7 days out of every 7 days on American farmer and be able to produce food and keep us secure here at home and abroad.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. It was needed time and needed perspective here on AgriTalk. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
That is Lucas Lynch, CEO of the United Soybean Board, Steve Sensky, CEO of the American Soybean Association, Jim Sutter, the CEO of the U.S. Soy Export Council. Thank you so much. Come back this afternoon. We're going to be having a conversation with Brian Doherty and Tyler Shaw.
I'm
here
Tim
on
Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other with a lot of help from DAV.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Investor reaction swift on Wall Street, with stocks plummeting today after the U.S. imposed 25% tariffs on goods from Canada and Mexico.